Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Titus 2:11-14. Join Janie and I today as we look at what it means to be a peculiar people. Well, Janie, our prayer life is a reflection of our relationship with the Lord as a Christian. And so we can really evaluate where we stand in our relationship with God based on how our prayer life is. Is that correct?
I would say that that's vitally correct. And as a young woman, when I went to church, prayer meetings on Wednesday night consisted of hours of a Bible study and being on your knees. And this is when they still got on their knees at the places where they sat, and there was a heart crying out. And it wasn't a systematic type of praying, Sharon, where it was orderly and you go around a circle or what have you. It was waiting on the heart and the Spirit working in the heart, and people would then cry out to the Lord.
You know, it seems like I remember prayers like that, prayer meetings like that when I was a little girl. Vaguely remember those. But I haven't seen anything like that in years.
Well,
or been a part of anything like that. Yes.
Well, culture has invaded the church, and I can only say that culture, and which is not all bad, but culture has a tenet about it, Sharon, that I think you can agree with. And our culture today can be coined by a very busy and aggressive society.
Well, we don't look much different than that in the church. We're very busy, and we're very busy as Christians. And so we're not a peculiar people anymore. We're not a different and set apart as the Bible tells us to be. And so what are the things that the Lord shows us in his word that maybe we're missing?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is Psalms 46:10, where it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Well, how can you be still when you've got your calendar out, logged in for hourly upon hourly upon hourly? Mm-hmm. Now, the Lord had a very busy schedule. I don't think he had his day planner, but he still had a very busy schedule. But he knew how he had to have time with his Father for balance to fulfill what the Father had sent him to do here. Mm-hmm. So what did he do? He arose early in the morning in the quietness. And for some people, you know, the day can begin like at 6 p.m. or 12 a.m., all right? And so sometimes the person's best quiet time is in the evening time. So if we need that quiet time and we understand that it requires balance, then we will make it happen. It's really a matter of prioritizing. And the Lord left us a really good example, don't you think, about prioritizing our time?
Absolutely.
So that would be one thing that I would look at. And then the other thing is some people are very happy to accept a dual face. And unfortunately, that is not excluded from the church. But to say one thing to a person's face, but still you have another mindset about that person, and that's your final authority about that person, then that's going to slice and tear. So, Sharon, there is a phrase that we have. We say we celebrate a person's strengths and we shore up their weaknesses.
Yes.
But how do we shore up a person's weakness in truth, in love, without slicing and dicing? You know, the Bible says in Psalms 96 that we are to be strong, but we're also to have beauty, and it's given as a reference to the temple. Oh, and the temple of God, all right, had its strong pillars. It had a heavily built foundation. It had fortified walls.
Okay.
So that gave the structure. That was the strength.
Uh-huh.
Then it had the beauty of the gold inlay of the tools of the temple. And it had the beauty that the walls were covered with and the Ark of the Covenant. It was extravagantly beautiful.
Right.
And so I think if you go to Psalms, I think it's 96:6, we can check that out. That gives us an example.
Right. Of the strength and the beauty.
And the beauty being a combined.
And really in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, know you not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 3:16.
Okay, that's an excellent verse to bring out there because the Spirit of God dwells within you. Mm-hmm. So if we are the temple, and he should be at home in his own house, shouldn't
he? That's right. And so what are we missing? And why aren't we praying? Why aren't we feeding? Because we talked about a few weeks ago that breathing for our natural bodies is our life.
That's right.
And for our spiritual body, prayer is as breath.
By the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit.
And so if we're not praying, then we're not feeding nutrients to our spirit.
Absolutely.
How are we living our Christian life if we're not praying?
Well, I'm not sure you are living your Christian life. You may still be held by grace because that is a gift of God, not based upon works of man, Ephesians 2:8-9. But someone said the other day that they were just maintaining in their Christian life. I don't believe that that is a truth. I don't believe you can maintain. You are either growing in grace and knowledge, and it is a growth process.
Or you're stagnant and
or you're
still
falling backwards.
Okay. Falling backwards. You don't sit stagnant?
No. No, okay. because the Christian life is, the whole principle is moving forward to maturity. Stop and think about how many scriptures are talking about until this is perfected or be perfect. Well, that word perfect is usually doesn't mean flawless, other than
it
the
means
fact
mature.
It means mature. Now, uh-huh. We are in some ways perfected because we are in Jesus Christ.
Okay.
But we have a tendency to be satisfied at a much lower level. And I would say, from my own testimony, it is too easy for our natural man to reign supreme with, let's say, a good mindset of morality.
Okay.
All right. In other words, I love Jesus.
And I do good deeds.
And I do good deeds. And I teach Sunday school. And I sing in the choir. Uh-huh. And I want to count for the Lord. But the Lord says, I appreciate that. But it has to be done in the power of the Spirit. And we are so capable in this particular nation of having the tools and the aids to where we can really do it ourselves. Daughter years ago, when she was battling full surrender to the Lord, she said, my biggest problem is I just want the Lord to give me the game plan and I'll take the game plan and I'll make it work for him.
Yeah. I think a lot of us do that.
Okay.
Right. Just tell me what to go. Just tell me what to do. I've got it covered from
there. It's just like the military. The general gives the command and you go out and you do it. You know, and it's good moral and you've got the best of intent. And then the Lord says, be still and learn who I am. Go to John 15 where I told you, you can't do anything apart from me. So get a grip and realize that if you want power in your life, if you want the good deeds to last for eternity, then it's got to be Romans 11:36, for all things are by, through, and to him. That requires full surrender. Sharon, that requires letting go. That requires not having control. Mm-hmm. Do you know how scary it is for a woman to lose total control?
Yeah.
I mean, it's worse than getting your draft orders and going to war. You've got to submit.
Yeah.
And I find it more than beautifully refreshing. We're in Ephesians 5, I believe it is. Before it tells us the wife is to submit, it tells us we are to submit one to another.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And then it tells the wife, you submit by showing respect for the leadership, the position that your husband has held sovereignly, because I've placed him there. Mm-hmm. And then, man, lest you become to where you're thumbing her in the ground, you are to love her.
As your own body.
Yes.
And no man hateth the church.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. But there is a preface to that, and we're to submit one to another. And when you have your own preconceived convictions, opinions, preferences, then to yield those joyfully to one another is difficult. So do you see how hard it is for us to take all of these things and line them up that the scripture has given us for victorious living? And it's kind of like a puzzle. I don't care how beautiful a 1,000-piece puzzle is. If there are two pieces missing, it looks incomplete, even right. though you may have 998.
Right, right.
And so
not finished.
It's not finished.
Complete, and it's not beautiful.
No. So then when we decide that we are helpless and hopeless in our failure, and I know as people have listened to us over the years, they're going to know that being helpless and hopeless as a failure is the true door to success. Mm-hmm. Because if you will accept that without becoming guilt or defeated, but recognize it's a process to open you up to the riches of His grace, mm-hmm. and you're right. willing to go to Him in a life of prayer saying, mold me, shape me, put me back on the potter's wheel if you yeah. need to be. It's going to hurt to have that clay squashed uh-huh. down and reshaped. But He says He's doing that for a vessel of honor, for His mm-hmm. own possession.
Yeah, put me back on the fire, Lord. I just want to be refined. Yeah,
you know, and I don't yes. know that I can say that just, oh, wow, I need to go back and have some more fire, Lord.
Yeah.
But it's like, Lord, eternity is a long time mm-hmm. to have missed what You have prepared before the foundations of the world. And then you go back and you look at John 17 and the intentness there that He said that knowing His God was the reason He was here, and that He came and He fulfilled His purpose of being here that we might know Him. And in John 17, His prayer back to the Father, He does talk about the character of knowing Him. He talks, and that's said in the name. About knowing the name. The name represents the character. And then people can say, well, that works fine, Jane. That was John 17, 2,000 years ago. But He prays for those not only that are with Him now, but for all those that are to come mm-hmm. that belong to Him. So, Sharon, do you realize indirectly we are listed in John 17?
Yeah, that's pretty neat, isn't it? When
yeah.
you think about it, that Jesus actually prayed for me.
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
And then to wake up of a morning and realize that you can step into the throne room of the eternal God because He's already there waiting to hear from you. Can you imagine waking up of a morning and throwing on some makeup and running over to the White House and being able to walk into the Oval Office? I mean, it won't happen in a lifetime.
Right, right, right.
Okay? But we have access to go to some place that's greater than the White House. We've got access to go to the King of Kings and not give out some great theological dissertation.
We don't have to have our speech prepared.
No,
or
we don't have to have our notes, you know,
yeah.
our. But we can just say, Father God, You've given me the beginning of another day with which to praise You for Your love, for what You were willing to do. Grace was given as a gift. But Father, I need to just dwell on what it cost You and Your Son for me to be able to wake up in the freedom of eternal life. And then you remember what it tells us in Philippians 4, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Mm-hmm. So to train yourself in a habit, and a habit is not necessarily a godly trait, but it is an earthly ability that we have been given that will open up the door for the supernatural to become natural.
Right.
So grace and prayer, to me, are like hands that hold each other.
Okay.
Because it's all of grace. We've said that many times on air. The good times are of grace and the not so good times are of grace. We lost a missionary recently in an instant car wreck that just took them. And that's grace. Now, in our agony of losing someone that we love here, temporarily being without them, sometimes people find that hard to call that grace. But the Lord does say that He has tender mercies in all that He does. And because I can't see a tender mercy of someone just being instantly losing their life, it's because I don't understand Isaiah, where the Lord says, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Are you going to trust me when you can't understand my ways and my thoughts?"
Yeah, and I think that's really difficult for all of us, especially, you know, you were talking about us being in control. It is hard to let go of the understanding, let go of the figuring it all out and having a game plan for down the line. It's hard for us to allow God to do what He's going to do and trust that He has everything under control.
Can you imagine what our government would be like if both sides of the main parties would say, "We need to work together"? But the first thing you have is division.
Right.
Because somebody doesn't like the other person's agenda. And, you know, I know that that happens in many ministries. That happens in many church governments. And a lot of times those committees can't become of one mind. And so they split over music, over the color of the kitchen curtains or the paint job or the parking lot. Things that God never would have ordained as being things for the body of Christ to split over. But because we don't look for the oneness, mm-hmm. we look for right. our own convictions right. and our own need to control those convictions and put them into effect because we believe that's what's right.
Right.
We have divided families. We have divided countries. We have divided governments.
Divided churches.
Divided churches. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the fact that you and I are willing to sit here and say what we know the Scripture says. And then we realize that famous saying that we have, we got to walk the talk and we got to talk the walk.
Yeah.
All right. And that's pretty tough because you and I have known some tough times because we've said some tough subjects. And yeah. the Lord says, "Okay, girls.
You're going to talk about it. You're going to live it."
That's right.
He does.
That's right. But the faithfulness. And then as you do in your perplexities, doesn't he give you just a quiet joy that, "Sharon, no, you don't understand the logic of this.
Right.
But you right. want to know me and you're trusting me."
I think probably my biggest lesson on that came with cancer.
Huge, probably.
Yeah, there were many times that I experienced things that I would say, "Okay, Lord, I don't understand this, but I will trust you." And there were other times when I would rebel because that's not the way I wanted that situation to turn out. But I know that God has everything in His hand.
Let me ask you a question now. We'll reverse the roles here. What were some of the negative emotions that you had to allow the Lord to overcome in you? Talk to us about that because that's huge.
I would say probably control. Control was a big one because I was always in control. I was independent, and having to give that up and surrender to allow someone to help me because I physically could not do the things that needed to be done.
Did you ever question that He had abandoned you or just let you be a victim to the disease of the age? Or did you believe that there was purpose in this devastation? Because your cancer was not rated as a mild early stage. When you were notified, you were told it was very life-threatening.
Yes. I think in the very beginning, I believed that I would die and there would be some great lesson that the Lord would teach my children through my death or my husband through my death, that it was all for someone else. But as He started showing me some grace, some tender mercies and encouragement, I started to see that there was a lot there for me to learn.
Mm.
and a lot of growing for me to do through all of it. So it was a process.
So when the scriptures talk about in Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And the evil was the cancer to destroy. And yet you're a testimony to that. And anybody that's listening today that may be in that valley of no hope, that you are a live witness by your life, by your voice, by your new hair, that God's mercies may at times seem very stern, but they're also filled with beauty of His love.
And I think that's probably the best example that I have of really learning to trust Him. You know, when you speak those words, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I can't tell you how many times I read that. But for it to become real in your life, it's almost like you have to walk through the valley before you really, really realize the depth and the truth and the realness of what that truly means, and that you can say it with heart and believe it and know it to be true.
Well, there is a line that I like, and it's, the gift of grace is for the object of grace, and you are the object of His grace. And that is that He wants you for His own possession. So He's given the gift of grace because you are the object of His grace. And that brings in the beauty of being redeemed, of the cross, of the resurrection, of the ascension, of the eternal blessings that still await us in fullness. And so that grace is best known if we're willing to have a life of prayer. And many times the grace is flowing to us, but we've blocked it because of our busyness and our thinking we can do. So the Lord does strip us. In His mercy, He stripped us. And that's hard to sometimes choke on, because He knows the greater good for all of eternity. So as I look at you today, I see the gift of grace in living color. But for everything we've talked about today, whether it was government, whether it was overcoming illness, whether we talked about relationships and submitting one to another and losing control, all of those are precepts and principles that are given to us in the scripture. And the scripture says that we grow line upon line, precept upon precept, all right? That's right, how we grow. Right. And so each of those things must be bathed in prayer. We're just not going to get the head knowledge and say, I've got it now, I'm off and running. We have to let those things be made real to us in a prayer life so that we are going by the Spirit's thoughts. Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your ways. So be still and learn what are my ways. And that requires the prayer.
Right.
That's where it takes place. You and I can discuss all we want to and get head knowledge. And we can then take that information and go to the Lord in prayer. And you know, He may have certain directives for you, whereas mine might be a little bit different directive, but they're going to ultimately give Him glory and give us the fulfillment He wants as us being a particular people and His own possession.
Okay, Janie. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Would you like to close us out in prayer?
Fine. I'd love to. Father, we just have taken these words that we have been given through the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that, Father, we have bathed many of these principles already in prayer and continue to do so that they will go deep down within our hearts and our souls and our spirit, that You might bring the life that transforms, and that we might learn the mind of Christ, which You say that You've provided for us, and that Your ways and Your thoughts that we can tap into. Lord, we probably will never understand them in their fullness until we see You face to face. But You have given us what we need to walk by faith. And we thank You for the gift of prayer, Father, that every principle needs to be bathed in prayer, that it might have life abiding in us for Your honor and glory. And we thank You for Your faithfulness in making this a reality in our life. Amen.
this is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.